This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Out of the West, the fortunes for to try. And these three men made a song.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 309, a podcast that examines, well, our being, who we are, what we do, where we're going, from one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish it up for today, and if you're ready, this is an Armenian Orthodoxy for today look, Armadoxy. You ready for that? I know I am. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. So, without any further ado, let's take the next step. So good to have you with us today. I am broadcasting from Tempe, Arizona. Yes, so what would that be? Like, I guess that would be Apostle East, right? In fact, we are so far east that we are in the southwest. Beautiful Tempe, Arizona. Those of you who have been listening for a while know that I have a very special affection for this area, and it kind of brings out some of the good stuff that we do, too. Anyway, it's a beautiful day over here. The sun is, as it always is, I think, what is it, like 360 days out of the year? It's like shining and bright, and it's not really hot. It's really nice, but I am just like helping out my kid. He's going to be graduating next week, and I'm doing some cooking, actually. Yes, I know, and when you think of like the Southwest, what do you think of? Like cooking, right? Do you think of like Breaking Bad? I do. I just finished that series. Wow. What an intense mind-blower that is. Anyway, I'm cooking good stuff. I made some oatmeal this morning and probably going to do a chicken tonight. But anyway, helping a graduate student get through his finals and his presentations. But I got a great show for you today on top of all of that, because I was getting ready to do today's show and I had a few thoughts in mind. And actually, I was going to be talking about Pope Francis in a completely different light. We were going to be talking about some of the things that he's doing and some of the things that really make the Roman Catholic Church, in my eyes at least, a very dynamic church, especially these days when you hear of the work that Pope Francis is doing, especially in terms of ecumenism, right? Okay, he's been like reaching out for people. He's been doing some ecumenical movements. Well, it turns out something else happened in that light. Now, I'll be sharing that with you in a few minutes because actually it all came together this morning. I was going to be talking about the Pope and then I got this email from my sister. She says, I'm on my way to work, and I see this church, St. James, the Syrian Orthodox Church, and it's spelled with an M, and I go, whoa, what is it? Who are these people? And so I started thinking about all these different Orthodox traditions, and it got me thinking, well, you know, this is really what we need to talk about a little bit more, and not the Sunday school definition. And I know if you want that Sunday school definition, I've done it, I think, in the past. You're welcome to look through our archives or you know, go to your local Sunday school and hear what they have to say about it. Yeah, there are branches of Christianity. There's Orthodox, there's Eastern Oriental, what we call sometimes the Armenian Church, and it's small little satellite of churches, including the Ethiopians, then the Assyrians, the Copts, or there's a small group, the Malabar. I've spoken a lot about that. I don't want to talk in those terms today. I wanted to talk about, well, this serious thing, like, okay, if it's Orthodox, what does that have to say? What do we have to do with that Orthodox thing? Particularly because of where I'm coming from these days, I want to share with you some of the frustrations that we've been going through lately. And then on top of that, as I was getting ready, I literally was setting up the computer to start today's podcast when I got a tweet from Holy Etchmiadzin, and it said that Pope Francis had met with His Holiness Karakin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians. And I'm going to share it that with you in just a couple. No, you know what? I'm going to throw it out at you just so you could understand my frustration. And it says that recalls Armenian genocide. Woohoo! Guess what? We have more than we bargained for today's show, okay? We are going to have a good show, and I'm going to start off with that. I'm going to be talking a little bit about what's going on. Okay, first of all, last week I did tell you I was coming from Las Vegas, and somewhere along the podcast I did mention that I was going to talk about the gambling issue, and I guess by the time we finished, I was venting out so many other things that I never got around to that. And June, that's a beautiful name. I hadn't heard June since I was a kid. But June from North Carolina wrote in, and she said that, okay, where is that segment about gambling? I was looking forward to it. You said you were going to talk about gambling, and nothing came out. Okay, let me just start off with that, and then we're going to get into the Pope and everything right after the song of the day. Okay, what's gambling, and what's the problem with it? Okay, why is there a problem? What's it say in the Bible about that? This is always one of my favorite things. Okay, what does it say in the Bible about that? Okay, let's hold off. Take a deep breath and relax. Okay, last week we were in Las Vegas for the Diocesan Assembly, okay? And every year this assembly takes place in one of the parishes, and guess what? There is a parish in Las Vegas. Yes, believe it or not, there are people who live there. Absolutely. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people live there, and there is an Armenian community there. So last week we had the annual assembly of the diocese in Las Vegas, and so we happened to be there. And it was interesting because we were staying at a hotel which happened to be a casino, and as you're walking through, people are seeing you and they come up, and I never forget, you know, it's like I'm walking by and some lady yells out, "Oh, Father Voskin!" It's you look over, it's somebody from the delegates, and she's sitting there under one of those slot machines, and there's an awkwardness to this, right? I mean, let's be honest with it. And what is the deal with gambling? Why should we feel awkward with it? Well, I'm here to tell you what it is, okay? And because I'm not going to let you go into that whole business about chance and leaving it for the stars. You gamble for a reason, because you think you're going to get something that you didn't earn. You think you're going to get ahead. It's fun, right? It's fun because you're taking a chance to get something that you really didn't earn, but it's okay because you're earning with the sweat of your brow this money, and so you have every right to that money, and so you're taking that money and you're putting it out, parlaying it, trying to make it into something more than what it is. Okay, that's the basic mechanics of gambling. And also throughout the years, 30 years of priest, I've had so many people come in and tell me, "Well, look at that church over there, they're running bingo. What is this bingo thing?" To tell you honestly, when I got to Pasadena back in 1996, I was appointed as the priest over there. This was one of the first things that I noticed, that the church there had this weekly bingo game. And I went to one of them, and the first time I got there, I thought, wow, this is kind of cool if they're bringing together some families and bringing together some maybe shut-ins, you know, and they're playing a friendly game. Well, what did I see? I go into this hall. There, first of all, you couldn't make any noise. It was like more serious than church, you know. This is a true story. I go into the hall, and maybe this is one of the bigger halls in Pasadena. It used to be called the Agajanian Hall. It belonged to the St. Gregory Church. And I go in there, and there are tables lined one right after the other. And I could easily say maybe about 300 people are playing. And you can't make you can't make any noise because they are so intently listening to the numbers being read. And so, okay, so they read these numbers, and somebody yells out, bingo. Well, you know how the game is played. But it's not a question of the game being played. It's a question of what is the motive. The motive is to make money. And you look around, and I started seeing that, I'm not exaggerating. I think out of the 300 people that were there, there was one lady who was associated with the church. In other words, I don't want to say a parishioner, but she belonged to the parish. Everybody else was from outside. And so the church was really excited because they were bringing in funds that they wouldn't see anywhere else. In other words, these are not people who would contribute to the church, but they were giving funds. And you started going around and asking, and you started finding out older people, people on welfare, cashing in their checks and playing this game of chance. Well, it took me about a year before I could get enough political clout within the church, because it's a rough community in Pasadena. These are people who, this is the way it's done, and stay out of it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a priest. The church doesn't belong to you, Mr. Priest. Very, very rough group over there. Anyway, we finally got the bingo game closed because there's something ethically wrong, right, with people who are on welfare coming and cashing their checks and playing these game of chance. Is there something wrong? I think there is. And that's completely a subjective call, right? It's not objective, because they're going to argue, well, it's my money, it's welfare gave it to me, and it's my money, I do with what I want. But I don't think so. I think welfare, what we call welfare, is usually given for your basic necessities, for your food, so that you could take care of issues like rent, take care of housing issues, okay? It's not really given to gamble. But then the argument is, well, what's it to you? What if I won? What if I take that money and I parlayed it into a larger amount? You know, and there's an argument to be made there. So the question is really, what is the problem with gambling? And I'm going to tell you, this is it, okay? This is it. Father Boskin tells you right now, okay? The Armadoxy version of it. It's very simple. It's wasting away a resource. That's all it is. And your obsession with wasting that away is really what the sin is. Remember the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son? It's such a misnomer to label him as the prodigal son. I spoke about this a few months ago. Prodigal means wayward, okay? It's not that the boy went out there and he lived with prostitute. It's not that he was taking drugs. It was not that he was lying, stealing, and cheating, which are all bad things, you know, quote unquote. That's not why the story was. The story was he was a prodigal. He was wayward. Why? Because he was squandering what was given to him. Jesus uses that word. The father had given him his cut of his inheritance, and the boy was squandering it on reckless living. You could squander it on gambling. You could squander it on drugs. But basically, the gift of life is the gift that comes to us from God. So when you waste that, that's the sin. And that's all gambling. That's the problem with gambling, okay? It's not a question of pulling a lever. It's not a question of throwing the dice. It's basically having that gift and squandering it, wasting it. And I know you can make the argument that, okay, well, if I hit, but the chances are that you're not going to hit, and that's not really what happens. And here is my definitive, and I will challenge anybody to tell me any differently. This is the definitive reason why a gambler will never win, okay? All you need to do is go stand on the Las Vegas Strip. Anywhere that you want, look up and down, preferably at night when you could see it all lit up, when you could see all the lights and everything, and you could see these monuments that have been built over there, whether it's the Paris with the Eiffel Tower, or else the Mirage with its waterfalls, or else the whatever is out there, Caesar's Palace, or the MGM and that huge lion, Leo the Lion in gold. You see all this over there. Guess where the money came from? Okay? That's why you cannot win gambling, okay? Because those buildings, that Las Vegas Strip, was built from money that was taken from gamblers. In other words, yes, isolated incidences. Here and there, you'll hear somebody who'll say, hey, I hit it big. You know, I hit a big bet jackpot. Or, you know what, that night I was on a streak and I couldn't lose. You know, there's always this. I had a dear friend, he passed away several years ago. He was just a gentleman of a gentleman. And he hit at Hollywood Park, which is a horse racing place here in Southern California. He hit, what is it called, the pick six or something like that, I think. Or pick eight. I don't know what it is. You pick a few different horses, and if you do it, you win the big jackpot. He won $40,000 that day. Never forget that, because I was friends with his kid, and won $40,000. I'll never forget what he said afterwards. We congratulated him, and you know what he said after all these years? He says, now I'm even. And I think there's so much truth in that, right? Okay. Nobody talks about their losses, and it's tragic. I've seen many, many tragedies, and that's why there's places like Gamblers Anonymous. You see people who are basically squandering what they don't have. Not just what they have, but squandering what they don't have. And there is a big tragedy in it. And I admire places like, what is that? Salvation Army. I've shared this with you in the past. Salvation Army, a few years ago, received a $100,000 donation from somebody who actually won a lottery. Yes, you play the lottery and you could win. One day you'll win. So this person had won a few million dollars and, out of the generosity of his heart, donated $100,000 to the Salvation Army. And guess what? The Salvation Army said, no, we won't take it. Yeah, it was written in the papers. I'll never forget that. It says, no, we can't take this money because we've seen the other side of it. We've seen so many lives that have been ruined because of that lottery, because of that gambling addiction. So, you know, we can't take this money. I mean, where is our sense of decency? How do we look ourselves in the mirror as an organization? That's very admirable. I don't know what the follow-up to that was, if there was a way that they got it, but it was just very admirable, and I'll never forget it because it does make the point. And sometimes those principles are important more than we might think that they are, because they affect so many other things. And that's what we're going to be talking about when we get back. What's the principles when we talk about all these other things? What are we here for? What are we doing? I'll be back after today's Song of the Day. Thank you. Aspuragan from Arax, from their Crossings album. I haven't played Arax in a long time. Vaspuragan is the name of that song. I will definitely put a link on our show notes, and can you hear it in my voice that I'm all of a sudden energized and excited because of Vaspuragan? It got us moving. Anyway, there will be a link on today's show notes. Do check them out. This is a news flash that came just about an hour or so ago. It was on my Twitter account. I follow Etchmiadzin, Holy Etchmiadzin. And it says, Pope Francis receives His Holiness Karekin II, recalls hashtag Armenian Genocide, hashtag Vatican. Okay, and then there is a link there. And if you press the link, guess what? It takes you to the App Store so that you can buy the app for your iPad, iPod, for your Android device. So basically, Etchmiadzin has tweeted this out and given us an opportunity to do some purchasing that will benefit the Catholic Church. Very nice, very ecumenical, very friendly. But there's not much more detail about the story. But here's what I wanted to share with you. That one line that they did put out in their Twitter. Recalls Armenian Genocide. Yep. Yep, that's what it comes down to, right? Let's applaud because the genocide is being recalled by the Pope. I mean, think about it for a moment, okay? Think about it. This is really why we're throwing this out, so that we can applaud. Listen, nobody's denying the genocide. There is no such thing as genocide denial. The only person that is denying it is the Turk. That's it. There's nobody else denying it. The reason why they're denying it is because it's obvious. You know, you've done it. You've been caught. You've been caught, okay? It's like the child who's caught in the cookie jar. What's he say? I didn't do it. The devil made me do it. I didn't do the genocide. It was a product of the of the war and everything. Okay, this is bizarre that we as a people are defining ourselves by genocide. Now listen who these people are. Who is the Pope? Who is Karekin II? Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the time of Christ. He had 12 disciples, 12 students. At the day of Pentecost, he releases them and they become apostles. Yes, one of them had hung himself by this time, Judas, and he was replaced by another person named Matthias. So there was the original group of 12, and this 12 went out to the world. They were called what's called apostles. Apostles means one who is sent. Okay, apostolos is the verb that comes from Greek. In Armenian, it's the same word. It's arakel. It means apostle. It comes from the verb arakel. It means to send, okay? To send out. So they've learned from Jesus. Now they're going out into different portions of the world. And what do we know? We know that Peter went to Rome, okay? And the Roman Catholic Church was started over there by the efforts of Peter the Apostle. And Peter the Apostle is called the first head of that church. In other words, the first bishop, means overseer, the first bishop of Rome. Well, guess what? One of Peter's brothers in Christ, namely Thaddeus, went to Armenia. And he was the first bishop of Armenia. Okay? These were brothers in Christ. And throughout the years, many things have happened. There's been 2,000 years of history, and there have been politics, there have been people, imperfect people running the church. And at the end of 2,000 years, you have the successors of these two people, namely Peter's successor, who is Pope Francis, and Thaddeus's successor, namely Catholicos Karekin II, meeting at the Vatican. Now, this in itself is historic, right? It's like two brothers separated at birth, and they're now finding each other. Isn't that beautiful? And what's the headline story? What's the headline story? Recalls the Armenian Genocide. Okay, so since we started, this was, like I said, it was a tweet, and if you followed the tweet, you got to a site that was actually selling you an app for your iPad. So we did this little bit of research really quick, and I've got the full story over here. Okay, I'm going to share it with you. Right, this is going straight out as we are recording. Let me just share it with you. Vatican City, to honor the sacrifices of those killed for their faith in the 20th century, Christians today must renew their commitment to reconciliation and full Christian unity, Pope Francis said. Just as in the ancient church, the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the new Christians, so in our day, the blood of many Christians has become the seed of unity, the Pope told Catholicos Karekin II of Echmiadzin, Patriarch of the Armenian Apostolic Church. Pope Francis welcomed the Catholicos to the Vatican on Thursday, paying homage to the fidelity and sacrifice of the Armenian Christians during decades of persecution and oppression. He also praised the Armenian Apostolic Church's commitment to ecumenical dialogue. The number of disciples who have shed their blood for Christ in the tragic events of the last century is certainly greater than the number of martyrs in the first centuries of Christianity, the Pope said. In this martyrology, sons and daughters of the Armenian nation have a place of honor. That's quote-unquote, okay? Pope Francis did not use the term genocide, although his remarks were an obvious reference to the estimated 1.5 million Armenians, more than half the Armenian population at the time, who died in the forced evacuation by Ottoman Turks, the suffering of the Christians, and it goes on. Now, listen. What's the underlying tone of this, okay? The two hierarchs, the two brothers in Christ, they meet. And what is the story that comes out? It's about genocide, about suffering. In other words, Armenians are defined. Are defined. Their definition is from genocide. And this is tragic. This is tragic. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. It was just before the Armenian Genocide Commemoration. One of our girls from UCLA, her name's Zara, she sent a beautiful picture on Facebook of her new Armenian dance troupe at UCLA. And I'm looking at this picture of these beautiful Armenian girls, okay? They're starting a dance group, and they had a video there, and they're beautifully performing. And you start looking, and you see all the beauty that we've brought to the world. Armenians should not be engaged in the talk about genocide. We're only playing into the Turkish game of basically saying, you're marginalized. This is what your history is about. It's about genocide. No, we have so much more to give. There is a creative energy that comes out. As a Christian Armenian, this is what we need to be witnessing. What is Christianity? You are the children of Christ. Christ says, I give you the power to be sons of God. What does that mean? What does it mean you're born in the image of God? We have that ability to create. Look at that. You have the ability to just do the same work that God did. You know, the generation that came after the genocide, you know that. I called them the God generation. Why? These were people who had absolutely nothing and did something, made something. That's what God did, right? He had absolutely nothing. Let there be. And he made something. He created. And that generation after the genocide did exactly that. I'm talking about my parents' generation. People who had absolutely nothing. And yet created something. They created a life. They created a celebration. And we're not celebrating that. You know, we're not celebrating that. We're talking about, okay, 100 years ago, this tragedy happened. The Turks did it. Too bad. And where does that end? And it needs to end. The reason why it needs to end is because so many other people need the help. And until the Armenians could get out of the way, Armenians cannot be addressing other issues because we're so consumed with a past. That past, there is nobody who's denying it. That past is full of blood. It's full of martyrdom. 1.5 million Armenians were massacred because of a systematic annihilation by the Turkish government, namely genocide. That's it. Who's going to argue that? Who can contest that, okay? It's just as real as saying that there was slavery here in this country, that the foundation of the United States of America was built on slave labor, Slavery was real. Who's going to contest it? You can't. It's a matter of history. Just like saying that the Japanese Americans were relocated during World War II. It's just like saying that the Holocaust happened. Who's going to contest it? It happened. The genocide took place. You don't need an act of Congress to say that it happened. Nobody is going to call my grandparents liars. And I know what happened. The bones of Derzor. It's a genocide. There is documentation of Talat Pasha giving the orders. Systematic annihilation from youngest to oldest, from oldest to youngest. There is Ambassador Morgenthau's diaries documenting this stuff, okay? What are we looking for? Are we going to waste our time defining this? And are we going to waste ourselves being defined by the reality of genocide? No, what we need to do is start opening our eyes and the opportunities that we have. This was a perfect opportunity for me to make a statement, not about the past, but about who we are right now. To make a statement about the living resurrection, to talk about the living ascension, okay? Especially in light of Easter, right? Yes, there was crucifixion. There was crucifixion. It was called genocide. But guess what? We're not only resurrected, but now we have ascended. And this is becoming my theme for this 100th anniversary year. Not to talk about resurrection, but to talk about ascension. You see, the wounds are still there at resurrection. Jesus still has the wounds in his hands. The people who have resurrected still have the wounds. For the most part, Armenians, 100 years later, have ascended. And when you look at what they're doing out there, this is ascension. The wounds have gone. Now what we need to do is let the wounds settle and move forward, because we have so much more to do when we can understand ourselves as people of this world with a unique mission, with a specific mission. And really, Armadoxy is all about that, because it's not about Armenianness that I'm talking about. I'm talking about Armenian Orthodoxy. See, when I use those two words together, there's a special balance that comes into play. Orthodoxy means the correct path. And to me, Armenian Orthodoxy is right on that correct path, because it brings in the suffering and it talks about a resurrected nation. It talks about a resurrected people. Now, you take that nation element out of it, in other words, the ethnic component out of it, right? You have a formula for life. Now, the ethnic formula is there because that's the history that it's been built on. But the formula for life is what? Is the same formula that Christ gave us. Christ gave it to us in his life, in his living example, in theory as well, right? Because you have a 2,000-year gap between the events that took place 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem and where we are right now. Armenians are basically that example come to life. So with the Armenian example, you have an actual, here's the proof, it can happen. You can make it work. That love is more powerful than hatred. That good is more powerful than evil. That all the evil in the world cannot stand up against the goodness and love that comes from God. And there you have it. And this is the testimony that's required of us, okay? Whether you're talking on an individual level as a Christian, as on a national level, as a group of people, to testify to what's going on. Take a look. Take a look at that tweet that came out. You have the two brothers in Christ separated by 2,000 years of history, of geography, of wars, of misunderstandings, now standing together and embracing. What an opportunity to talk about resurrection and the truth of ascension. Instead, we get a hashtag Armenian genocide. Instead, a group of people are going to play into the they're going to play into the game that was created by the enemy to be a loser, to be a victim rather than a victor. And I'm really appealing to you right now to understand this differentiation, because that's what Armadoxy is about. Earlier I told you I got an email from my sister. She said, who are these Syrian Orthodox? Who are these people? What are they doing? All of Orthodoxy has this one problem. They get consumed by all of the trappings out there, okay? And I see this, whether it's in the Copts, the Russians, the Greeks, the Syrians, okay? They're being identified by their language, by their ethnicity, rather than the story of that ethnicity. And that's what Armadoxy is. It's a story of crucifixion, resurrection, to ascension. So there's a story that needs to be told. It's not about speaking the language. It's not about ethnically being Armenian, because, come on, who's ethnically Armenian? Who's ethnically Russian? Who's ethnically Greek? I mean, the story of the world is one people going in, conquering, dominating, and genes are being mixed with each other. Chromosomes are flying around here and there. Yes, there has been sex between different groups, and you really don't have that pure breed. But what you do have is a pure human being. And we're not addressing that issue. Armadoxy addresses that. That's what Armadoxy is about. It's about taking that history and understanding within that tradition, within that story, the value. It's like I've said many times, you sit there in church and you recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one Father, we believe in the Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe in the church. You say, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, Savior, who came. We believe in his passion, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. The one thing we don't say in there is we fall short and we don't say, we believe in his teachings. Where is that line? We believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. We believe in the message of love, the power of love. We believe in the need to have compassion. We believe that we need to reach out to the homeless, to the poor. We need to believe and accept this as the mission of the Christian Church. And this is what I throw out as Armenian Orthodoxy today, Armadoxy. It's a hybrid. It's taking the best of the past and applying it to today. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about language. It's not about culture. It's about taking that ethnicity and understanding that here you have the brightest example of crucifixion to resurrection to ascension since the first century, when Christ did it himself, when he went from crucifixion to resurrection and ascension. I'm going to take a break right now. Let Susie fill you in. And hey, if you want to go from crucifixion to resurrection to ascension, join us.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for those wonderful words, important words, because this is how you plug in with us. We appreciate all of your kind words, your kind prayers, and your donations. I'm not going to lengthen it any longer than that, just to tell you that we are at a time right now where we are transitional. We're going to be coming out with an incredible new news, probably end of this month, maybe early next month, about In Issues, what we're doing with In Issues. Got a wonderful team of people working on it. It does require money. It does require your participation. So please be generous in your giving. go on the website if you like, if you find value in this, and we always love to hear from you as well. You could drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net, but do get involved and do support this ministry, because I'm really understanding more and more as days go by that this is really the challenge that we have today. And whether you're Armenian ethnically or not, whether you belong to any of the other Orthodox traditions, and I know we have quite a few followers and listeners from different Orthodox traditions, I hope that what I'm talking about resonates with you. It's not about the ethnic part. The ethnic part gives the flavor, so to speak, but even more than the flavor, it gives us the examples that we could point to. But the real message comes to us from Jesus Christ, and there's no compromise for that. And that is a powerful message. It's not a message about genocide. It's not a message about death. It's a message of life. I'm going to call it a day for right now. I'm going to get back to my work here in Tempe, Arizona. Beautiful Arizona. And I look forward to being with you next week. Actually, I'm going to be here again next week. I'm going to be making another trip. And we will probably be broadcasting from Arizona as well. But until next week, do join us in all the usual spots on Facebook as well as on our websites. And get involved as much as you can. Download as much as you want. All of our podcasts are at epostle.net. Really easy to remember. That's Apostle with an E. The E for electronic and expanding for this electronic universe. Hey, listen, this is Father Boston inviting you to join us again next week, along with Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, behind the webmaster, when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.